Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Sure, we will know people in heaven. It'll be a great time of celebration and a great time of reunion. And perhaps we get to heaven, we're hugging all of our family and friends and having a great reunion there with those who've gone on before, and we'll feel something rubbing on our leg, and there will be a cat, or there will be your dog jumping up on you, and you animals are going to be in heaven, folks. Jesus honored children. You can be sure that child of yours will be in heaven. Heaven wouldn't be heaven without children, would it?
The truth is, you'll see more clearly in heaven than ever before. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young closes out his message, Will We Know People in Heaven?, by offering more proven truth that your love for your family, friends, and neighbors will continue long after this life. That's coming up on The Winning Walk. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Will We Know People in Heaven? Part 2.
The foundation of heaven, the foundation of the holy city, the foundation of the New Jerusalem, it is based on the apostles, the 12 apostles. The 12 gates around the city are based and named after the 12 prophets, the 12 forefathers there in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of that crew, the family of Jacob. And so we see the Old Testament and New Testament is brought together on the base of the foundation and the 12 gates. And now we go in the city, and there is the Lamb that is on the throne. And then at the bottom line, you read in the fourth verse of chapter number 22 of Revelation, it says, we will see God, and the name of God will be written on their foreheads. Let me deal with the name of God. It disturbs me today when we do not take the name of God and keep it sacred and keep it holy. When you say, oh God, well, I don't mean anything by that. It is a form of profanity. When we say, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting, that is irreverence. Irreverence. We have to be so careful how we use humor when we bring God in our humor. So we lose something. We take God and make him sort of a pedestrian thing as a product of humor, as a product of our conversation, as our product of our expletives that we say. Man, people, Jesus Christ, I didn't mean anything by that. Oh, yes, you are bringing down the holiness and the majesty and the awesomeness of the Almighty. So we need to be very, very careful this with our lives, the lives of our children and our grandchildren, because it's pretty, oh, to say, oh, God, listen. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We have to be careful. In our generation, it is almost a part of our culture. Then it says, we will see God. Who can see God? We've talked about that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Anybody who's pure in heart today, would you stand up? I want to recognize you. No, we're not pure in heart, are we? My heart is not pure. Your heart is not pure. So how will we ever see God? We begin to see him in this life. This is where it begins. The purity of Christ must come into you and must come into me. This helps our motivation. It helps us understand, helps us to see God in life, in our life, in the lives of others, in this life. How does purity come to us? It goes right back to the cross, doesn't it? Right back to the cross. Max Lucado said, the verse in the Bible that he hates and despises more than any other verse, and it says when Jesus is on the cross and he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? I thought about that. That is a devastating verse, isn't it? My God, why? Here is Jesus asking a question. That doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? I and my Father are one. My meat is to do the will of the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. You know the Father, you know me. How he walked 24/7 with his Heavenly Father in that wonderful, wonderful relationship. Now in the moment of great extremity, Jesus, divinity wrapped up in human flesh, shamed, embarrassed, nailed, crucified. His moment of extremity, God turned his back on him. And Jesus says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Makes no sense, does it? When Jesus spoke, usually you put an exclamation point after it. Come forth. Be healed. Stretch out. Come out. You see, there's an exclamation point. Now we have this why? What's that all about? We like it better when John the Baptist looked at Jesus, young, beginning his ministry, walking toward the Jordan, and he said, behold the Lamb of God. Boy, I like that. Look at the Lamb of God. How magnificent. What's the rest of the verse? Who takes away the sin of the world? Takes away the sin of the world. How do you feel when you're wallowing in sin? I've been there. You've been there. What's it like? We feel alone. We feel estranged. We feel abandoned. That's how Jesus felt when he took your sin and my sin upon himself on that cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? When we have sin in our life, we feel abandoned. But the good news, Jesus was abandoned by the Father so that you and I might be forgiven, and we will not be abandoned for our sin because he has paid the price in total for your sin and for mine. Behold, the Lamb of God which came and takes your sin and mine upon himself. Oh, we begin to understand what that verse is all about. The Heavenly Father cannot look on impurity. He can look only on purity, and we become pure when we receive Christ. His righteousness is poured in us. That's how purity comes. And then in this life, when we do that, then we have to live a life of obedience and a life of discipline, not perfection, but a life of discipline. In 1992, Stanford University, that little school in California, the sociology department engaged on an interesting test. It's called the Marshmallow Experience. And what they did, they took almost 600 kids, aged 5 to 7, and they took them over a period of months into a room one at a time, and they would play with them and let the kids feel comfortable. And then they would sit a kid down, age 5 to 7, in this category, put a marshmallow in front of the kid. And they would explain to that young kid, look, you can eat that marshmallow right now, anytime you want to, Or you can wait 10 minutes and I will come back in the room and give you a second marshmallow. Eat it now, you don't get a second marshmallow. You wait, you'll get that marshmallow and one more after that. So they left the room, came back in 10 minutes, and they saw the children who waited to get the second marshmallow. Now, this is very, very interesting. They have traced since 1972 all of those kids out of that study group all the way to 2012 to see what kind of life they had as they practiced as a young kid delayed gratification. Hold on to those words, delayed gratification. And the study results were astounding. After 40 years, they saw that those kids made better grades in school, had more successful marriages. Their kids turned out, way better than other kids. In their vocation, whether it was a blue-collar or a white-collar job, all of them achieved and moved ahead in life after a 40-year study. What was the secret? Delayed gratification. You can have the marshmallow now, or you can wait and you can have two. Ladies and gentlemen, every time we make decisions in life, we should think in turn of the marshmallow test, the marshmallow experience, because I can tell you, God's blessing is usually wrapped up in that second marshmallow. A disciplined life. Receive Christ, purity comes, sanctification. We begin to walk in discipline, and the result is a life that is full and meaningful, and we begin to know something about purity, clean hands, pure heart, motives, thoughts, lifestyle, habits. So that's where we start. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. A little bit in light in this life, in people and events, but in heaven we'll see him face to face. That's the first thing we know. We will see God. What's something else we know? This may not interest you, but I think it's interesting to me. We know there'll be animals in heaven. I'm asked that all the time. We know there'll be animals in heaven. Well, how do you know that? Read the Bible. There are over 120 different species of animals and birds in the Bible. Man, look what you have there. Look how animals are all the way through the Bible. You start there with the birth of Jesus. Where was he born? In a stable. Who witnessed that? Perhaps Joseph and Mary, of course, but the animals. The earth was destroyed by water, by the flood. Noah took what on the ark? Animals. They're the second earth. There are animals. And then when Jesus was born, and look back at the beginning. There's Adam, created by God. And God says, all the acts of creation, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. Until finally he says, it's not good for man to be alone. Remember that verse? And then you say, well, God went and jerked a rib out of Adam's body and made a woman. No, read it carefully. It is not good for man to be alone. And then God began to bring animals into existence. Animals predate women. Check it out. Animals in the beginning, animals at the birth, animals at the ark. And so there's going to be animals in heaven. For example, Jonah would have drowned hadn't there been for a big fish. How in the world would Mary have gotten from Nazareth to Bethlehem without a donkey? What about Jesus going in on Palm Sunday? What about Elijah was fed by the ravens? What about the symbol of the dove, a symbol of the Holy Spirit? You read all the way through the Bible, there are animals, animals, animals everywhere. There are camels, there are oxen, animals all the way through. And is it logical we're going to have flowers and beauty that in heaven we're going to have animals? You can book it. And perhaps we get to heaven, we're hugging all of our family and friends and having a great reunion there with those who've gone on before, and we'll feel something rubbing on our leg, and there will be a cat or there will be your dog jumping up on you, and animals are going to be in heaven, folks. The they're going to be in heaven. And we're going to know somehow the carnivorous animals will be transformed. They'll be a part of the miracle of that. And the lion will lie down with the lamb, Isaiah tells us. So relax. Your dogs will be in heaven and a few cats. There'll be animals in heaven. Now, the question we're asked all the time, and it's almost become silly, but it is, will we know people in heaven? You're going to get dumber when you receive your resurrection body? Yes, we'll know people. Now, they'll have resurrection bodies. They may be difficult to recognize in some sense that their lives have been purified and magnified, and there's the image of the resurrection Christ in them. Sure, we will know people in heaven. It'll be a great time of celebration and a great time of reunion. And then we come and ask the question, will there be marriage in heaven? I just wouldn't want heaven to be without my wife, without my husband. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible when the Sadducees came to Jesus and they were trying to trap him. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And they said, Master, here's a woman who's been married to 7 different husbands. Who will be her husband in heaven? The Elizabeth Taylor, I guess, of the New Testament. Pretty good challenging question, isn't it, if you believe in heaven and the resurrection? Jesus said there won't be marriage in a human sense in heaven. He talked about some kind of angel existence. And that is certainly true because Jesus said it, but there will be marriage in heaven, and that is the magnificent marriage when Jesus as the bridegroom will take of those of us who are in faith as his bride. And it is that marriage, and out of that marriage, who knows how the rest of the relationships will be expressed in heaven. And you can be sure, you say, well, what about the intimacy I enjoy with my mate? That will just be like playing on a little half-acre lake and going out in the middle of the ocean. What God has prepared for those who love him, there won't be anything lacking in heaven. So relax. Get over it. Wake up. Heaven is glory. Heaven is completeness. And there won't be anybody shortchanged in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We will be complete in our resurrected life and our resurrected world. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what it says. Somebody says, well, what about children who have died young, or they were aborted, or they died in their mother's womb? We have plenty of scripture, I think, that covers that, that counteracts some who would say they have to come to this kind of position. We know that Jeremiah, before he was born, it said the Holy Spirit was there. We know John the Baptist in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit was operative there. We know David, when he lost that son, clear teaching in the Old Testament, it was said that he could go and be with his son in heaven, but his son could not come back to be with him. David was in the land of dying then. The son was in the land of the living. That's true of us. Certainly, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, come sit in my lap. He said, unless we have the faith, the simplicity, naivete, the little bit of a child, we'll never see the kingdom of God. We'll never see heaven. There's their naiveness there with children. It is beautiful. Jesus honored children. You can be sure that child of yours will be in heaven. Heaven wouldn't be heaven without children, would it? Now, there's a book that was written years back called Heaven is Real. And that book tells the experience of a 4-year-old boy who had a ruptured appendix, went in surgery, evidently he died for 3 or 4 minutes. And then gradually over a period of months, he begins to tell his parents what he experienced in heaven, a 3-year-old, 4-year-old rather. And it was unbelievable because he began to experience things and tell of things that happened with his dad and his father's grandfather in heaven that he had no way of knowing. He began to talk about what happened when his mother, They had lost a child in the beginning of the pregnancy, and they hadn't told anybody hardly about that, let alone their four-year-old. And all of a sudden, this begins to come together, and skeptics, atheists, agnostics, secularists couldn't handle it. And it's called Heaven is Real. Quite a story, isn't it? About, I don't know, maybe 13, 14 years ago, a member of our church who'd gotten to know Roger Moore and his wife, 007, invited he and his wife to come and spend the night with them while they were in Houston in their home. And they called me and asked me to come over, JoBeth and I, have dinner and to witness to 007, Roger Moore, and bear witness to what Jesus Christ could do for his life. I had something that night that was already planned that I could not get out of. So I thanked them for the invitation, and they said, well, there'll be another time. But there wasn't. I never had a chance to witness to Roger Moore. And when I saw that he had died, it all came flooding back to me. And I began to say, Lord, did I miss something? Should I have canceled whatever I had and gone? And would it make any difference? I don't know. But you're here, and I don't want to miss anybody here, because we have to begin with the Holy Spirit operating in a life, convincing you, convincing me of our sin. And then when he convinces us of our sin and we see the severity of it, then we are to confess that sin. Anybody need to do that now with your eyes open, looking at me? Any sin? Just confess it to the Father. Confess it to the Father. And then if you want to turn away from that sin, that's the option. Convicted of sin, turn away from sin. And then we do something that's really important. The Bible says those who receive him, to them he gives the power to become sons and daughters of God. And then we have to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm convicted. I confess. I turn away from. And now I invite you to come into my life. That's it. And he'll come in your life. And what happens is, one way to express it, you give him your life and Christ gives you his life. What a deal. That's a purifying process. That's a saving process. That's a salvaging process, restoring us to the purpose for which we were made. And there's some here who may need to do that right now. Without anybody moving, will you bow your heads? Just bow your heads where you are. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, right now, I invite you to come into my life, to forgive me, to salvage me, to restore me to the purpose for which I was made. I give you my life. Lord, thank you for giving me your life. Lord, thank you for this purifying process that begins right now that will take me all the way to heaven.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who he is, what he did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young digs into Scripture to share about the fun, wonder, and creativity you'll experience in heaven.